Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So, Tim, would you say that Rob Schneider has challenged the TV model?
Such a good question. Yeah, in some ways he has, because some things you take as read on television, like if you self-fund and write your own thing that you're going to produce and star in, you usually write yourself quite heroically. But by hook or by crook, Rob Schneider has painted himself as a bit of a baddie.
I think there's no necessarily helping that. He's from the Adam Sandler school of, of comedy, I guess. But He's essentially fulfilling a similar role to what Adam Sandler does in movies, only with less charisma.
If you could imagine.
And his wife exudes charisma.
She's so great. I love his wife. So let's broad strokes what's going on in... Oh, that's good. Just a bit of Atmos. In Real Rob, it is a format where we are introduced to Rob Schneider's real life, which is sort of dramatized. And it's interspersed with bits of his stand-up, which, undercooked, I think, would describe those portions of the show.
Also interspersed with, to cover his tracks, sort of...
Small pieces to camera?
Reality show or documentary-style pieces to camera, performed exclusively by Rob Schneider or his wife, whose name...
Patricia.
Patricia, and what's his...
The assistant?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember the assistant's name. The whole first episode centres around his assistant being bad at his job.
To the credit of the show...
You looked at me like I said that wrong.
No.
I'm jumpy, I tell you. I just watched this first episode. I'm jumpy.
It's a pilot. You know, pilots famous for struggling to find shape and form. It's more like a representation of what the show could become.
That's true. Because in a pilot, you've got to introduce every character. You've got to show everyone who's going to be in there eventually and cram them in.
And as promised in the Deadspin sort of... informational teaser, the four characters to whom we are introduced, Rob, Patricia, the assistant, and the stalker, all feature prominently in this episode. That's not to say...
Are we going to hang out with them the whole season, do you think? Those four characters, that's it.
Can I tell you, one of the reasons that I thought this might be fun is I saw in a trailer that I watched a while ago, I remember seeing Norm Macdonald arrive in one of the...
Boy, you love that
episodes,
man, don't you?
And I was like...
You'd follow him into a garbage dump.
Well, I very well may have. You know what? Norm's just a good guy, I guess. To go on all of his friends' awful projects.
Oh, I'm sure he's getting paid for it, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Norm's famously not that good with money.
Is he not?
Well, he's got a gambling problem.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's known to have lost everything he has twice.
Really?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Shit, that's awesome.
The man is a wild card.
But he should not be playing with cards, wild or none.
The TV show is not without its moments. Like, unsurprisingly, if you get 30 minutes of airtime and you script gags for the whole 30 minutes, some of them are going to land.
Yeah, totally. I thought the stalker guy was kind of a fun character, actually. The stalker is this, he does quite a lot of sort of physical comedy, and they've made him look all goofy with weird big Coke bottle glasses and a weird moustache. and he's just sort of creeping around when you first see him. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with this. This is all good.
It's such a low bar to clear, though. Like, it's a stalker archetype.
Dude, I am so easily impressed. This is the thing you've got to remember. I enjoyed the movies iRobot and Chappie. Anything with a robot, I'll enjoy. There's no robots in this show. I hate
real
it.
Robot.
Real robot.
The cold open. We're impressed by the cold open. Rob and his wife in bed. This is the moment to grab the audience by the short and curlies and say, here we are. Stick around. This You're in the, for a good trip.
This is the tone.
And the entirety of the cold open was built around the idea that Rob has poor hygiene because he scratches his balls and goes on his phone.
And touches his face too much. And Patricia was a little cognizant that she is breastfeeding their young one, and she didn't want the bacteria from Rob to be on her breasts. And Rob was so keen to touch her breasts.
That's right.
God, he was keen.
He was so
like
keen.
A dog with a bone. And good on him. They're a married couple.
And they negotiate that he may touch her right boob. Not, they don't say breast, they say boob. It's a funny word. But no nipple.
No nipple, Rob. Rob, but he just can't help himself.
Exactly.
And that, there lies the comedy.
That was the first, you know, one of the first moments I realized that this TV show might take place in the real world was Rob said, you go straight for the nipple.
Everyone does.
Everyone
That's
does.
What he says.
And I don't think he's too far off it.
No, I think he's making acute observations about biology and the human form.
But because, you know, it does follow the Seinfeld model loosely, or early day Seinfeld, where the stand-up is thematically meant to be linked to what is taking place.
Yeah, that's true. Except that, so here's a big problem in this show, Real Rob. Whenever we jump to his stand-up, he's usually making fun of his wife using sort of a Mexican archetypal voice, and always plays himself in the act-outs that he does as this real cool, calm, and collected dude. But the thing is, we've met his wife, and she's really charming.
Well, like, there's a hard cut from a scene with his wife to him doing stand-up, doing an impersonation of his wife. Like, you gave us the information 5 seconds ago.
We've already seen her, and she doesn't sound like this. She sounds really lovely and quite reasonable. And you paint her on stage as this cartoon character, this harpy from Mexico, and you are the villain, I don't know if you know what you've done here, but you've made yourself the bad guy in the gag.
His stand-up is... You don't see a single shot of an audience member in his stand-up, which suggests to me maybe he could have just recorded it in front of a brick wall.
Oh, really?
And laughed.
No, surely he got into a club. This is Rob Schneider. He's been a working stand-up for decades.
What is Rob Schneider? You know, when we...
What is Rob Schneider?
When we talked about doing this, we told Alice Nedden and Rose Matafea of Boners of the Heart fame. And the first thing Alice said was, is that punching down?
Yes. Which is a jolly good question, because Rob Schneider is not among the more successful in the Sandler bag.
He's still doing
band.
Fine.
Yeah.
Presumably. He made this show.
And do you know what? Maybe I should cancel the podcast right here 10 minutes into the first episode, because, boy, if there's one thing I hate, it's people just randomly shitting on people trying to do things. And Rob's trying to do something here. He's trying to put a show together, you know?
He's trying to shake up the business model of Hollywood.
So let us remind you about how Timbo and Guy Guy do business on the podcast platform. Just like The Worst Idea of All Time, we're not here to shit on Rob Schneider. We're here to watch his show. And try and figure it out a little bit, you know?
You can sort of, I mean, you can see loosely the grab bag of spare parts he's tried to put in one place to make this show work.
How are you feeling in terms of your hope level for where this season's going to go?
Honestly, measured against my previous podcasting experience of documenting, watching something, there's room for growth here because the show gets to keep moving forward.
There's potential.
Yeah, I mean...
Comedic potential?
I did... For a 30-minute episode of a TV show, I was... When one of the frames was out of focus, and Tim said, did they find focus during the frame then? And he rewound it, and he was right, but save the fact they didn't find focus, they were just looking for focus for a whole shot that made it into the episode.
Yeah.
But when you did that, we were 24 minutes in, and I was taken aback. There was 5 minutes left in the episode.
It dragged a little bit, but... not as bad as some other stuff that I've watched. Like, you know, we move around a bit. There's lots of different locations, which is good. At least he didn't skimp out because this is self-funded and make this like a three-room sitcom sort of.
He goes out a little bit. He creates a false book within the show that he is promoting at a
He goes to
book
his own
launch.
Book signing. So
that was actually a big, that was a good laugh from both of us, as he would sign the books. He'd sign them, "You can do it." And then do his signature, because "you can do it," Rob Schneider's most famous line. But then he would laugh quite like, after signing "you can do it," he would do like a sustained 10-second rolling laugh at the very idea of how funny it is for him to sign "you can do it," which is brilliant.
It is brilliant when you consider he must have been signing that for 20 years now, I would say.
Well, that was the other gag that worked at the top of the show. One of the first moments we see of Rob in the wider world outside of his home is arriving in the airport, and a fan says, "Hey, Rob, can you sign these?" and gives him two burned DVDs, one of which is Juice Bigelow, and the other is the extra features of Juice Bigelow.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's funny.
That was good. That was legitimately, I think, the only joke that worked in the whole episode. That was 30 minutes in duration.
Yeah, so help me God. Oh, no, the other one.
Yes.
Rob Schneider.
Prove me wrong, Guy
Rob Schneider pitching. So within the show also, he is pitching a show. So he's essentially within the show pitching the show that we're watching. But he goes to a meeting with the head of Fox Comedy or TV or something, and the first thing they say to him in the middle of the meeting, they say, "And do you have to star in it?" That gag works.
Yeah, that was funny. You know what, Guy? You're right. There were twice the jokes that worked that I originally thought.
Anytime
in this
Rob
show.
Schneider exercises any sort of self-awareness.
But you notice that the gags and every like kind of nice moment comes from someone else, never from Rob. Real damn shame.
Yeah. I saw shades of a poor man's Billy Crystal in Rob Schneider. It's because I saw When Harry Met Sally recently.
It's because he's a sad clown.
Mm.
You know? And Billy Crystal, as he got older, that's what happened to him. He became a sad clown. And I think Rob Schneider's always had a lot of, like, sadness about him. Don't you think?
Did you like Rob Schneider as a teen?
Yeah. I remember enjoying Deuce Bigelow. Yeah, I thought it was funny when I was, you know, 13
or
whatever.
Did you get into any of his other sort of movies that were canon? The Animal?
I never saw The Animal. I did see The Hot Chick. The Hot Chick, I think I just thought was sort of bizarre and silly. The Animal, I had mates who really...
The Hot Chick had the opportunity to be interesting because he swaps bodies.
It was Freaky Friday, but gendered, right? And Rob Schneider.
The Animal, the romantic lead he acted against was like a breakout star from the first season of Survivor.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Rob Schneider really is trying to shake up Hollywood.
And I want to call her Colleen, although that might not be true. I'm going to double check if I
it
got that name
It doesn't sound
correctly.
Right. I was a big fan of Little Nicky when I was a kid, and he makes a brief little cameo on that with his famous line, "You can do it."
We were recording this in Melbourne during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Rob Schneider was meant to come out, you know that?
Yeah, he canned his show. And it's like, it wasn't billed as a comedy show or stand-up or anything. I think it's a speaking tour. I think he does quite a lot of that these days.
Colleen Haskell.
Oh, nice one.
She was a contestant on the first season of the American reality show Survivor in 2000. The Animal came out in 2001.
How crazy was it that Survivor got as big as it did?
Makes a lot of sense. It's a great format. In that first season especially, to get to watch people be duplicitous. Like, that was 2000? That's 18 years ago. That was groundbreaking.
God damn. We didn't have anything like it back then. And now everything's like it. Cooking shows are like it.
That's right, yeah. Cooking shows aren't actually about the cooking. It's about how well you can manipulate other people.
Cooking shows are so little about the cooking these days and so much about manipulation and conniving, backstabbing. There needs to be like team shit going on in cooking shows. I'm speaking so out of school. I don't watch any of those cooking shows.
No,
My Kitchen Rules.
I like your idea, though. Whatever. I don't watch any of the cooking shows either. One of the jokes that Rob Schneider delivers... in this, as a stand-up comedian, in this show, Real Rob, is because his wife, as a plot point, is trying to start a small business. She says she's never been to a good male strip club. She likes the idea of it. She's going to create the first decent male strip club.
Yeah, male strip club, as in it's like a strip club full of males aimed at women punters.
Yes. And he sort of segues pretty clumsily into a stand-up bit he does about men being afraid of the sexuality of their partner, or the previous sexual history of their partners. And he's like, you know.
When you refer to it like that, it makes it sound so much better than what the joke actually was. It's like thematically, it's about, you know, sexual empowerment of women and how men are afraid of a sexually empowered partner.
That's not what Rob is saying at all. So yeah, I might have put too much window dressing on it.
Rob's joke is the following, and he ums and ahs so much through it. That's what really caught me off guard. There's a lot of guys out there who get very uncomfortable with their wife's previous sexual history. Not me. My wife used to live with a guy. I'm no idiot. I'm not naive. I'm sure they made out once or twice. People are really uncomfortable with it. Cultures are uncomfortable with women's sexual history. The Taliban are uncomfortable with women's sexual history. They stone them to death. I think it would be better if they just maybe threw one stone. You're a whore. Did someone call me a whore?
That's the laugh line. That is the edit point. His big gag is that under Sharia law, only one stone should be thrown at a woman who has premarital sex.
Sharia law is not a pronunciation from New Zealand, by the way. That's just how guy says Sharia law.
Yeah. Oh, did he say
Sharia law?
How did he say it?
I think Sharia law. I think that's how everyone says it. I didn't mean to nitpick.
No, you're right.
But I noticed it, Guy. I'm going to draw attention to it because other people will have noticed it too.
You're right to nitpick. But, I mean, it's an incredible...
How does the show make you feel? Like, emotionally? Like, you watch it. Everything gives you a feeling. You know, that's what art does.
If I choose to read it correctly, it's inspiring. The idea that one man with such middling talent can make it this far up in the Hollywood food chain to create his own show.
Yeah. Gives you hope.
Along the way to make several feature films. Like, I remember thinking he was funny. But, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't it give me hope? Doors don't open for everyone. And there's no guarantee one will open for either of us. But if Rob Schneider's out here shaking up the show business model by self-funding this abysmal television show.
Yeah.
What are Netflix doing buying the rights to this?
Well, I'm very interested, as I always am, in the economics of this enterprise. Like, so it says it's described as self-funded by Rob Schneider, so he kind of put the production together. Do you reckon he recouped that money by getting it on Netflix? Or do you think this is a deal where he, like, maybe lost a little bit of money on the first season?
He at least lost a little bit of money. Let's not forget, in 2012, Rob Schneider also had a more traditional sitcom that was following sort of network rules called Rob.
How did that do?
There's no information about budgets here.
That sucks. I want to know about the money.
We can do some research between episodes. Rob was a sitcom that premiered on CBS in January 12, 2012 and ended on March the 1st, 2012.
Oh, Rob. That sucks.
On May 13th, 2012.
Hey, you can't win them all. John Mulaney, one of the funniest stand-ups around. He didn't do any good in his...
CBS canceled the series, but he's gone on to do funny things since.
Yeah, I know.
He learned...
I'm trying to give Schneider the benefit of the doubt here. Only one episode in, Guy. We can't start off negative.
No, we can't.
Where do you go to from there?
Wow.
Just more negative.
He had, in the sitcom, Rob, he had Cheech Marin, who is of Cheech and Chong fame.
Holy shit.
Playing his father-in-law.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Look, all of that to say, this is not, it's not the worst pilot I've ever seen. It's certainly not the best pilot I've ever seen. The show.
What is the best pilot you've ever seen?
Cheers.
Yeah?
It's an incredible pilot.
Oh, I had a good one. Crap, what was it? Fuck, I can't remember. I can't remember. It was like a kids show.
Well.
Damn it. If I remember, I'll let. Hey, a little tease for episode two. I'm going to brainstorm and figure out what that dope pilot was.
I love it. Well, that is episode one of Overlooked and Undercooked.
No, well, hold on. I think we should give it a rating or something. You know, we should rate each episode out of 100. Give it a percent.
40%.
We should both say it at the same time so our ratings don't colour the other rating that comes second.
You say yours.
I'm giving the pilot, this first episode of Real Rob, I'm going under 35. 35. You had shots out of focus. The colour saturation's pretty ballistic.
So
everyone looks like they've got radioactive glowing eyes.
So far, Real Rob is scoring 37.5%.
You want to know what the saving grace is for me so far, though? Patricia. She's awesome.
There is no saving grace for me at this point.
Oh, Guy.
Save the curiosity and the knowledge that a Norm Macdonald cameo is impending. So
right.
I look forward to.
A lot to look forward to. We're going to dig through that cameo. We're going to get the best pilot that's ever been from my brain to your ears. We're going to be back in the second episode after we watch the second ep of Real Rob.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.